Good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from Old West Macomb Baptist Church. We're glad to be with you again today. Here we are on the beginning of July. Isn't that amazing to think that we're in the second half of the year already? And I know that probably a lot of you are out celebrating the 4th of July weekend, probably got a long weekend, so you may be traveling. Maybe you're in your car listening to us, or maybe you're already at the camp or at the hotel, and maybe you listen to us this morning. We pray that you're all well. We know that we do have several that are shut in that can't get out that listen to us, and we just pray that you'll have a good day today. We just know that this 4th of July, I tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm excited about what's happening in our nation right now with this overturn of Roe versus Wade. I'm proud to be a Mississippian. I'm proud to know that it was because of our law that we had made about abortion, trying to stop it in our state, how this has carried it to the Supreme Court, and now for the Supreme Court to overturn Roe versus Wade. I never thought I would see that in my lifetime. I'll just be honest with you. I really never thought that was going to happen. But praise God, because of our appointment of those three conservative judges that we got on the Supreme Court, we see that it has been overturned. Now, we have to make sure that we understand and know that just because they overturned it in the federal way, we know that they're putting it back upon each state. We know we have a lot of liberal states who are still going to push for abortion even after the baby's born. Isn't that amazing? Even after a partial birth abortion. How in the world anybody could do that? But I'm going to tell you, it does my heart good to know that we've overturned that. Can you imagine how many millions of babies have been killed in the last 50 or something years since Roe versus Wade became law? So I'm glad to see this happen. I hope that it is a door opening to revival in our nation. I hope that it is a door opening and to seeing our nation turn from its wicked ways and turn back to God. So I believe that this 4th of July is so important that we remember our religious liberties, that we remember what God did for us, that we remember about our forefathers coming to this nation to seek out that religious freedom, that they could worship God like they wanted to, that they could have their beliefs without somebody telling them what to do or not to do. So today, I think, should be a day that we really praise God for what just happened and give Him the honor and the glory. And then we need to be praying for great revival to take place in America today. So this morning we're going to read from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to read the first six verses. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, as we think about religious liberty. What does it mean to have religious liberty? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 6. Before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask Him to add a blessing upon the reading of this word. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for today. We do thank You for this celebration of the independence of our nation, Lord. We thank You for what we saw happen last week in our Supreme Court. And we pray earnestly, Lord, that this could be the door opening to great revival and reformation to take place in our nation. Lord, maybe You've given us one more chance to turn our nation back to You, to get back to that religious liberty that, Lord, that You gave our nation, that it was founded upon, and the principles that we stand upon, and that our independence and that our laws are founded upon You and Your word, that we could truly be that one nation under God once again. Lord, I pray this morning that You give me a clear mind, that You cleanse me of my sin, that, Lord, that You remove anything that will hinder me from being able to proclaim Your word this morning. I pray, Lord, for the hearers, that, Lord, as they hear this word, that it will be alive and real to them. And I pray this morning, Lord, that we will seek out that revival in our own lives, that we would turn to You, that Satan will be bound, that Jesus will be uplifted, that He can draw all people unto Him, and most of all, that You can get the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. This morning, as we read from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we find these words beginning with verse 1. It says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. when we have confidence in thy Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which you have commanded you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which you received of us. You're probably asking yourself the question, preacher, what in the world does that have to do with religious liberty? Well, I think that Paul, and he's writing here in his second letter to the church at Thessalonica, we know that the church was very dear to his heart. He had prayed for them many times. He had wrote these two letters to them, encouraging them, talking about them. But we see in this last chapter of this last part of this last letter, the second letter, that he asked them to do something for him. He says, pray for me. Pray for me that the word of God will what? Have free course, that it will have free course, and that it will be glorified. You know, this morning, that's what religious liberty really hinges on in its entirety. Pray for me that the word of God will have free course. You know, this morning as I began talking about what has happened in our nation, and I said to you, you know, we need to be praying right now that this will be the beginning, that this will be the beginning of a great revival and reformation to take place in our state. We need to be praying right now for religious liberty to be brought back unto our nation. You know, our forefathers, as they fought for this religious liberty, we know that it wasn't just for us as Christians. Religious liberty is that all people can seek God in the way that they would have Him. Listen to this as I read to you what Brother George W. Truett said in his famous speech in 1920 as he stood on the steps of our U.S. Capitol. He had over 15,000 people there listening to him. It was congressmen and cabinet members and others that were there listening to this speech in 1920. And listen to what he says in this. He says, we hold then it's not the proper prerogative of any power, whether civil or religious, to compel men to conform to any religious creed or form of worship, or to pay taxes for support of a religious organization to which they do not believe. God wants free worshipers and no other kind. Did you hear that? God wants free worshipers and no other kind. So do you listen to what he's saying? It is not the prerogative of any power, whether it's a civil power or whether it's an evangelical power or a religious power. He says no power should compel any man to conform to any religion or creed and to worship or much less have to pay taxes to support something that he does not believe in. Now, I mean, that just right there speaks to where we're at today, does it not? Does it speak to where we're at today? We know our forefathers came here because they wanted a free state. They wanted a free church. And because of that reason, they came to the United States of America to find that religious liberty. We found our independence. And we know that since that time, that brothers and sisters, it seems like over the last several years, that all we have done is try to give away our independence and our freedoms and our liberties that God has given us. And so we got to be careful. We got to listen to what Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. And what he says, he wants them to pray for, and the things that he says. In our article number 17 of our Baptist Faith and Message, listen to what it says. He says, a free church in a free state is the Christian idea. And this implies the right and the free, a free and unhindered access to God on the part of all men, and the right to form and to propagate opinions in the sphere of religion without interference of civil power. So did you hear what it says? What we're looking for is a free church and a free state. It's our idea that everybody can have free and unhindered access to God, that no matter how they want to worship, no matter what their mode is, no matter what they believe in God, that they have that right to form their own opinions without interference of anybody else. That's what religious liberty is all about. That's what religious liberty is all about. Now, I know we as Christians, we believe that we know the truth. The truth is that God is the one and only God. He created all things, his only begotten Son, who came and died on the cross for our sins, that he rose again. He's coming again one day, and there's only one way to Christ, one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And we want everybody to know that, and we want everybody to understand that. But brothers and sisters, for us to have a free state in a free church and the religious liberties that we have, then we have to allow everybody else to worship God like they want to too. You know, if we start trying to impose what we have upon them, then brothers and sisters, then we are doing what? Then we're doing exactly what we ran from England from. We have to share the word, we share the truth, but yet every man must be free to seek out God and access to God unhindered in any way, not allowing any group, whether civil or religious, to take over and force people to pay taxes or to force people to worship in one way or another. And praise be to God, because of what we're seeing take place in our nation, hopefully we're getting back to that. So I want us to look then at four things that we see that Paul talks about here in this chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians when we think about religious liberty. Because I believe these four things are so important to religious liberty. The first thing is the purpose of religious liberty. What was his purpose that he asked them to pray for? Number two is look at the deliverance that we get through religious liberty. What are we deliverance from? Number three is the direction that we get. Being able to seek out our own direction and to seek out what God would have us to do, we find that we can all find our direction to God. And then lastly, we have the liberty to withdraw. We should have the liberty to withdraw. That's what religious liberty is all about, is having the ability to accept and to do and to serve and to worship God like you want to, but not to be forced to do and support something that you don't believe in, that you can withdraw from that, that you don't have to be a part of it. So all this is a part of our religious liberty. All this is a part about what Paul is talking about here, that he's asking them to pray for. It all boils down to our religious liberty today. Our religious liberty today. So let's go back and look at the purpose. The purpose that he says, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it was to you. So we see that the purpose of this is that we, as having religious liberty, is that the word of God can have free course. Now, what does that mean? It means kind of like that horse in the race. He's got free course. He can get out there and he can run and he can go his direction and he can do what he wants to without anybody hindering him, that we are unhindered in all those things. Did you hear what he said a while ago when we read from the article of 17 of the Baptist Faith and Message, that we have the right of free and unhindered access to God? And the way we do that is that the word of God must have free course. There must not be anything that stands in the way of the word of God. It must not be anything that stands in the way to hinder the word of God from being able to be preached or proclaimed in any way. Now, I don't know whether you're aware of it, but we are quickly approaching a time that the word of God is going to be hindered. Who knows? If we don't see revival take place in our nation, if we don't allow this Supreme Court turn and hold on to these religious freedoms and liberties, that there's going to get a time that, brothers and sisters, we're going to be censored. We're going to be hindered from preaching the word. There may come a time that I can't get on this radio station and preach the word of God like I preach it today. I can't get on here and talk about Jesus being the only way, and you must accept him if you're planning on going to heaven. He's the only way to salvation. I can't get on here and talk bad about false gods and false idols and things of this world, you know, because it's going to be hindered in some way. Paul says the purpose of religious freedom and liberty is that we can have free course with the word of God. Now, we've been seeing this in our nation. We've seen it happening on Twitter and Facebook and Google and all these other places, that if you get on there and if you're conservative and if you talk about the Lord and you begin talking about Christian things in a conservative way, then brothers and sisters, they'll cut you off, won't they? They'll cut you off. But here Paul is saying, I want the word of God to be able to be spoke. I want it to be able to be taught. I want it to have free course, that it can speak to the hearts and the conscience of men, so that that conscience and that heart would bring them under conviction of the Holy Spirit, that they can come to that conversion experience. He says, just like you did in Thessalonica, that you can come to that conversion experience to come and know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know, we're quickly approaching a time to where we're not going to be able to share that gospel on the street corner. We're not going to be able to share it on the airways. If something doesn't happen, if we don't see a turnaround, if we don't see this religious liberty brought back, that we can find the purpose of all that religious liberty is that the word of God would have free course. You know, that's why our forefathers came here. They would not allow them to preach. You know, that it wasn't right to baptize infants. They was called Anabaptists. They was against baptism. They said you had to be a believer. We're going to talk about that a little bit next week. We'll be baptizing two in our church, and so we'll be sharing with you a little bit more about baptism next week. But we know that people gave their lives. People put their lives in danger and stood up for the right to be able to give the word of God free course, so that we can have the religious liberties that we have today in our nation. So we must hold on to those religious liberties. We must hold on to those. Well, let's look at the second thing that he says. He says, pray that we may have what? The word of God may have free course, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked and men of not faith. Now, listen to that. He says we need deliverance. You know, religious liberty and our forefathers coming to this nation, seeking out our independence from England and seeking out their ability to do what? To be delivered from what was called, now do you hear that? Unreasonable, wicked, and men of no faith. I mean, what better way could you describe that? Just to think about the unreasonableness of what we're seeing. You know, I've never seen such a time that people can talk bad about Jesus and talk bad about God, our God, the one and only true God. But then if you say something bad about Allah, or if you say something bad about one of these others, Muhammad or something, then guess what? You know, you get a death warrant out on you. Somebody's trying to kill you because you have talked against one of their gods. But yet we can talk bad about our God? I mean, we can allow everything to be taught in our school to our children. We're allowing things that are so ungodly to be taught through the homosexuality and through all this identity thing being taught to kids, you know, 3 and 4 years old, and yet we can't read the Bible and we can't pray to them and teach them about God being the God of creation. Listen to me. It is so unreasonable what we're seeing today. How that they'll do away with all these righteous things to put in all these ungodly and unrighteous things. And that's what he says. They are unreasonable. They are wicked men. They are wicked. I mean, they oppose the gospel. They try to disgrace the ministers in any way that they can. And they have no conscience. They have no honor. They don't care what they do. They don't care what they say. I mean, they'll do anything they can to disgrace the gospel or disgrace one of God's men. They'll do everything that they can to hinder the gospel because they are wicked men, because they are unreasonable men, and they won't listen to reason. If they did, they would make it free that all people. But see, that's the way Satan wants it. He don't want freedom. He wants to dictate it through these unreasonable, through these wicked men. These men of what? What did it say? Of no faith. I mean, we were listening to a guy speak the other day, and he was talking about in our colleges now that it seems that they say that at least 40% of our college professors profess to be atheists or are not Christian. They don't want anything to do with Christianity. 40%. I mean, these are people of no faith. And what's so sad about it is we got people of no faith making our laws. We got unreasonable and wicked men making our laws. We got unreasonable and wicked men in places of high places. And brothers and sisters, we need to wake up. We need deliverance from that. And Paul said, you need to pray that we'll be delivered from these people. These people opposing and trying to disgrace the gospel in any way that they can. You know, this is nothing new. You go back to Acts chapter 4, verse 19. You know, when Peter and John, you remember the story when they were preaching the gospel and things that they were doing, how that they were arrested and when they were brought before the council. And what did they ask them in verse 19? They said, well, let me just ask you something. Is it better for us to obey you or to obey God? Now, you judge and you tell us. Is it better for us to do what you're saying or to do what God says? Because God is telling us to preach this gospel. So you tell us, you know, so unreasonable and wicked and men of no faith, they would say, well, you better obey us. But I mean, they put the monkey right back on their back. Then they say, now you tell me, is it better to obey God or is it better to obey men? In Acts chapter 16, we know Paul and Silas. Well, you remember when the damsel who was possessed was going about and she was sharing things that were by her owners, was using her because she was demon possessed, and she could see things that people were using her to make money, and she kept following them along and hollering out because she understood and knew that they were followers of Jesus. And finally they turned around and they cast that demon out of her, and boy, their owners got mad, didn't they? Because now they lost all that money they'd been making with her. And you remember how they took them and put them in jail, how they beat them, and at midnight, the Bible says there in Acts chapter 16 that Paul and Silas, what did they do? They began to sing praises and they began to pray unto God at midnight, and God opened the doors, and what happened? A jailer got saved, didn't he? A jailer got saved. Listen to me. God will deliver us from the unreasonable and the wicked men, those people who have no faith. And brothers and sisters, it comes through our religious liberties and our freedoms that God has delivered us from this, but it seems as if we want to give it away. We want to turn it back, turn the clock back, and we want to allow these unreasonable and wicked men. But we need to stand up like Peter and John. We need to stand up like Paul and Silas. And we need to preach the word of God. Let it have its free course in this world that we're in. Well, let's look at the next thing. The next thing we see is that our religious liberty, we find direction, that we find our direction. We're not directed by any power. We're not directed by any group. What did he say? What did George W. Pruitt say? He said, it's not the prerogative of any power, whether what, silver are religious, to compel men to conform to any religious creed or form of worship, or to pay taxes for support of any religious organization which they don't believe. So he says here in these verses in which we read, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you'll do both what? Well, the things which he commands you, and the Lord will direct your hearts in the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now listen to me. We as Christians believe that our direction should come from what? Our direction should come from the touch of the Lord. That the Lord, what did he say in that verse 4? We have confidence that the Lord's going to touch you. And when he touches us, then we'll want to do the things that he commands us to do. Going back to that Peter and John, will you tell me which is right in your sight? Is it better to obey God or is it better to obey you? You know, which one do you think really matters? You know, we find that religious liberty allows us to find our direction from the touch of the Lord, that he directs us into things that he would have us to do, that he would direct our hearts, that he would show his love to us. And because of the love of God and because of that direction that God gives us, then we know that we have that access to him, and we know that we can seek him and seek his word out. What did it say in that Article 17 that we read a while ago? That we all have what? Unhindered, free, and unhindered access to God. We have that right. God has given you that right. And no nation, no law, no group should hinder that. Nobody should take that away from you. That you have the right to feel the touch of God. You have the right to allow God to direct your path, and that by us waiting upon Jesus Christ, I love what it says, you know, that should direct our path, should it not? We know the love of God does. We know the touch of God, that when God touches us and saves us, and we feel that saving grace take over in our lives and that filling of the Holy Spirit, and we have the love of God dwelling within us, and then what do we do? What directs our path is that we're waiting on Christ. And while we're waiting on Christ, it doesn't mean that we do what? That we sit down and twiddle our thumbs with nothing to do and just say, well, you know, here we are, and everything's good. Come on and get us. No. He says, because we think about Jesus coming again, because we know about him coming, then we waiting on, patiently waiting for Christ to come, we are compelled to do what? Share the gospel. That's why we have religious freedom. So that the purpose, going back to that purpose, isn't it? That the word of God can have free course. And so through the waiting on Christ, knowing that he's coming again, the touch of God upon us, the touch of God upon us, because he's directing our path, that we move forward, sharing the gospel, waiting for Jesus to come, trying to lead as many people as we can. He says God will do that. We have confidence in him that he's going to be there for us. You know, we can't stand any longer than God holds us up. You know, we got to keep going. God holding us up. As long as God's got us and he's directing our ways, then we can stand in this world that we're in. But when we quit allowing God to direct our ways, when we continue to and don't allow God to direct our paths and to lead us in the way, then brother said, he's not going to hold you up if you're not following him. And that's the reason we're falling in this world. That's the reason we're stumbling in this world. It's because we're not allowing God to hold us up and to guide us and to direct us and to lead us in the places that we need to go. Well, let's look at the last thing. We see, first of all, that religious liberty does what? It has a purpose to give the word of God free course to go and to share the gospel with everybody. That the freedom and the religious liberty that we have, it delivers us from those unreasonable and those wicked men and those men of no faith, those that oppose the gospel. That it directs us, that we have that access to God unhindered, because we all have that freedom. When Christ died on that cross and when he ripped that veil in the holies of holies from top to bottom, we know for that reason that what happened? That we all have access to God, that we can worship him in the way that God touches us and lays on our heart. Well, then the last thing is that he says what in verse 6? Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, not after the tradition which you received of us. That you withdraw yourself. Now listen to me. Religious freedom gives us the right to do what? Withdraw from that which we do not believe in. To withdraw from that which is not right, which is disorderly. To withdraw from those that we know that don't believe like we do. You know, why am I Baptist? Why am I not something else? You know, is it that I don't like the other religions? Is it that I hate them? No. You know, there's a lot of great religions in the world besides our Baptist religion. But brothers and sisters, I'm Christian first, and then I'm a Baptist. But I'm Baptist because I believe that Baptist is as close to what I believe the Bible means and when I interpret the Bible. See, that's my religious freedom, to be touched by God, to access God, to seek out and let his word have free course in my life, that I can choose what I want to be. But if I want to withdraw from some other one, I'm not going to be a part of that. I may not be Baptist all the time. I can tell you right now, when we look around at what's going on with a lot of our denominations and a lot of our religions, it may become that I'll just be Christian. I won't have Baptist because I'll withdraw. If they get to where they turn their backs upon God like some of our other religions have done, then brothers and sisters, I'll withdraw because I have that religious liberty and I have that freedom to do that because I have that freedom in Christ. And I've told, if there is a who are disorderly, then I should withdraw for them just as you should withdraw. And religious liberty gives us that freedom to withdraw. Listen to what he says, what W. Truett said once again. I love what he said. Let me read it once again to you. He says in his speech on the Capitol, he said, it's not the prerogative of any power, whether civil or religious, to compel men to conform to any religious creed or form of worship. And listen to this. Or pay taxes for support of a religious organization to that which they do not believe. Now, God wants what? Free worshipers. And no other kind. He wants us to be free worshipers of no other kind. Now, let's go back to that paying taxes to something that you don't believe in. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe Planned Parenthood is a religion within itself. Abortion is a religion within itself. And I am so glad, as we began this message this morning, I am so proud to be a part of the state of Mississippi that we can have a part in overturning Roe versus Wade. But brothers and sisters, it can't stop here. I don't know about you, but if you're a Christian and you don't believe in abortion like you shouldn't, then brothers and sisters, we ought to be upset that our taxpayer money goes to support the religion of Planned Parenthood. We ought to be upset that our taxpayer money goes to pay for abortion. You know, I was listening on the news this week, and it said that Disney is going to pay for its employees to travel to a state that'll form an abortion, that they can care for them to care. Now listen to me. You know, what in the world are we doing? What kind of nation do we have to where even businesses are going to start paying for it? Listen, we have the right to withdraw from that kind of stuff. And we need to seek out our religious liberties, folks. We need to see the purpose that the Word of God will have free course. We can be delivered from these unreasonable, wicked, and men of no faith. That we find our direction from God and God alone. That we can withdraw from these evil things of this world today. That's what it means to be free and independent. That's what it means to have religious freedom. And thank God for it today. Let's continue to push it to the limit to regain our religious freedoms today. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for these that have listened so attentively. I thank you for our religious freedoms that we already have. Help us not to give up anymore. Help us to regain some that have slipped away from us, God. I pray that we'll turn from our wicked ways, that we'll turn back to you, and that, Lord, that our nation will truly experience great revival with the beginning of this Roe versus Wade being overturned. Thank you for our nation. Help us to be that one nation under God once again. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.